Hey guys, and welcome back to my channel. I've got a little bit of a sassy topic today. I absolutely just had run out of patience yesterday, and this thing happened, and I was wondering what to do the podcast episode YouTube video on this week, so I think it is good timing because it lines up with that, and it's not something I like to talk about because I get so much backlash for it, but I think that's probably why it needs to be spoken about, because not many other people have the guts to do it. And I think it's definitely hard standing up for your beliefs online or taking a stance in anything because you get always online hate. It's very scary putting yourself out there, but I think from a business standpoint and just who you are as a person, I think it shows that you have guts to actually look into your beliefs and take a stance on something instead of just being wishy-washy or not really saying anything that anyone can have any kind of objection to. And there's many reasons why I think this is an important topic, and it all just comes back to my approach to health and nutrition. So if you're new here, hi, my name is Cassie Amber and I'm a plant-based holistic nutritionist. I also do bodybuilding and I've got my own plant-based recipe app as well. If you like topics about business, lifestyle, nutrition, wellness, all those kind of things, then don't forget to subscribe, and you can connect with me online at Cassie Amber Wellness on Instagram and TikTok as well. So let's get into it. I'm in the middle of getting diagnosed with ADHD as well, and I've always had this thing where even if I've had a big day or like no matter what, I always think of my best ideas at like 11 p.m. or midnight. Like I can't go to sleep to silence. I always go to sleep like listening to business videos and podcasts and things about marketing and things like that, because I always just need like this voice going on all the time. I can't just have silence because my brain just goes wild. And I just had this excellent thought at like midnight the other night. Quite a while ago, I made a plant-based free challenge that's like an email course that just shows people how to go plant-based in 7 days. But when reflecting on it, I was thinking it's probably quite negative because it goes into a lot of the stuff that happens in the animal agriculture industry between all the different kinds of meat that you can buy or eggs, blah, blah, blah. So I was thinking people probably getting that into their inbox, yes, that is like such an important part of it, but it's not free. It's not really a positive motivator for people. And not that everything needs to be positive, because the first documentary I watched was Earthlings, which just shows like the inside of a slaughterhouse. So sometimes you need that factor that like shocks you, like, oh my God, I remember I'd eaten lamb for dinner that night and then watched this documentary and you're like, wait, that's someone's baby. Like sometimes those things are good. But from like a nutrition business standpoint, I was thinking it might actually be a really good time to recreate that program and make it more focused on achieving your dream physique through plant-based nutrition, because there's so much misinformation online. That's why I'm so passionate about what I'm doing as well, and also having my foot in the bodybuilding industry. I feel like a lot of people don't know how to tune into their bodies. We don't know how to listen to our signals. A lot of people are going off calorie and macro plans, and we've kind of lost touch with what feels good to us. I also had a job interview earlier in the week, and I was asked about my approach to nutrition, and I just said, yeah, I used to work in a health store, and I love just helping people with the issues they come into the store with. And she said, oh, that's great, because people come into the supplement store and get told from their PTs not to eat fruit because it's got too many sugar and carbs. Someone else was on a 600 calorie a day diet. Another person was doing a 3 or 4 day fast just to lose weight. So I was like, oh my gosh, that is crazy that that kind of thing is still going around. And coming from personal trainers as well, who aren't even nutritionists, unless they have studied nutrition as well, they're not actually qualified to give nutrition advice. So they can give guidance around healthy eating. Yeah, like make sure you're getting enough fiber, and eating fruits and vegetables is like the staple. So even being told like the opposite of that is pretty crazy. But I'm really, really passionate about people taking a more feminine approach to their training and nutrition and leaning in and listening to the signals that their body is giving them. And I feel like also the whole stigma around vegan diet back then, I used to think as well, like, oh, I used to do these 800 people dinners and someone would ask what the vegetarian option is. And I would go back And I was thinking, why would someone order that? Like, why can't they just eat what's on their plate? And I always thought that would be like very pale and weak and stuff like that. And then when I eventually made the switch 6 years ago, like, I've been eating this way for so long and I found an approach that works for me. And I just want to change the way people view it because, yeah, they think you're going to fade away, you're going to lose all your gains. And I just want to be this positive voice paving the way to show you can actually transform your physique, build muscle, do all these things, and be able to stick to it long term. And I do believe that everyone's long term looks different because every body is different. And that's why it's quite an important thing to touch on. So what I decided yesterday, I woke up and I just had this idea and ran with it. I'm going to redo my 7-day plant-based course and I'm going to post in some Facebook groups and ask people what's the number one thing they struggle with when it comes to achieving their physique goals or a body that they feel confident in. Is it lack of consistency? Is it lack of knowledge? Is it struggling to find the time or time management for gym or meal prep? Or is it confusion about all the information online? Like, what's the number one thing they struggle with? So I can get real data from real people and answer the questions in a free course. I'm not getting paid for that. And I was working all day. I ended up still going to the gym in the afternoon. And I was just on my computer, like typing flat out, like answering all these questions, coming up with all these possibilities that I could think of. And at night, well, when I was at the gym, actually, I posted in this Facebook group, Auckland Vegans. And I'm from New Zealand. I lived in Auckland for, I think, 3 years before I came to Australia. This is where it all started for me. If you go back to the start of my YouTube channel, my first few videos, they're so old. I would go around to these little restaurants, and that was one of my first times sending out a proposal to a company. So we got a free lunch, and I would interview different people in these restaurants and like rate the menu and things like that. So that just brings back such old memories of like where this journey began. It's like where I started this whole brand and business. That's where I was living when I was studying. And when I was first getting into influencing and online things and meeting other people in the industry. So then I posted in there just because I posted in like six groups, like Vegans of Australia, Auckland Vegans, just a couple of them like that. And then this lady commented, "Is this just market research or are you an Auckland vegan?" So I was like, I used to live in New Zealand, but I'm in Gold Coast now. I just posted this in a few groups. And one man, he like spoke fine. He was like, "Oh, we just tried to save this group for people who are actually in the city," which is fair enough. He like wrote a nice enough comment. But the lady was like, "Well, I just looked on your profile and all I can see is promo posts." And it's kind of hard to navigate that kind of thing. You're not meant to post about your business in these groups. So I just replied, I said, "I've never shared any links to anything. I haven't linked my business. I haven't direct messaged anyone that's commented on the post. I'm not doing anything bad. I'm literally just starting a conversation so I can get real data, post real answers. And it's not even for a paid product anyway. People can literally sign up for free when it's done. So I actually don't get anything out of this. I just want to help people in their journey." And then I was feeling quite fired up and I kind of just took it out on the weights, and I was just running out of patience that day. And then at nighttime, I lost it. I was so exhausted from working all day. I actually cried when I was trying to cook dinner because I was too tired to even feed myself. I went to the supermarket to get this thing to make like a veggie mince thing with pasta, and then I was just laying on the ground in my boyfriend's office, just like too lethargic to even get up to cook the pasta and stuff like that. So I was just putting this English muffin in the toaster to just have toast for dinner because I'd worked that hard on something for free for people all day. And this man comes to me, well, this man comments on the post and he said, "Well, I just clicked on her profile and everywhere it only says plant-based, not even vegan." And they were horrified. And I literally lost it. I put on my Instagram story, I actually swore, I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" And I was like, I'm the one out here teaching people how to do it. I've dedicated my life to show people how to go plant-based. Like, you're probably just waking up, going to your normal job and being annoying. I was very heated that day. And I literally just poured my heart and soul into something. It's only up to lesson two. I've still got like a whole nother 1 or 2 days worth of work to do to get it finished. And I'm out there doing something for free, showing people how to go plant-based, how to make it better work for them, showing them what mistakes they might be making so they can feel more confident in themselves on this diet and this journey. But I'm not good enough for them because I'm not vegan, only plant-based. So I've talked about this on my channel before, and I just follow a 90 to 95% approach. That's what works for me. My favorite food is salmon, and I crave it around my time of the month. So every time, it's like clockwork. Even if I like forget that it's coming or something, I'll just suddenly have this craving, like I've got to get salmon from the supermarket next time. And then I buy a pack of two, I cook it with rice for lunch, and I'm good. And then I don't even crave it again until the next month. So it's just what works for my body. It's something in the fat. And I have eaten backyard eggs before when I had hens. I've had them pretty much the whole time I've been in Australia across the different properties I've lived. But when I moved into town, I got told like you can't really be applying for houses in the Gold Coast with the rental crisis with a Great Dane dog and 3 chickens. So I actually had to give them up for adoption. And I know the lady who I gave them to, she doesn't use them for food or anything like that. So she was making like a commune kind of thing. So my chickens are safe up there, but I didn't want to get new chickens until I knew that I was going to be stable, because if I had to move out of this house again, I don't want to put chickens up for adoption again, because you never know who's going to adopt them or what they're going to do, and they're my friends. So while I've lived here, I haven't eaten eggs because I don't want to buy them from the supermarket or anything like that, but I think it's finally time to put in an application with the rental agent. So that is actually a possibility because we've got quite a big backyard even though we live in town. So that is really good news. But that is just the approach that I've taken this whole time. It works for me. And when I tried to give up salmon that time, I don't know if I lasted like 2 months trying to be full vegan, and I just like went to the supermarket like I need salmon, and it's like I was freaking out. I just had to like buy the pack, go home and cook it, and it just like satisfies something. And I'm sorry if you're vegan and you're watching this and it's like not nice for you to picture, but this is why I just take the stance that every body is different. A lot of people don't have those kind of cravings, so it's hard to put like one label on anything. And I don't think it's right to tell someone that they're wrong and to not listen to their body either, if they are eating well in other ways and eating plant-based, blah blah blah, but there's like one thing that their body tells them on repeat every now and again, like probably have it twice a month. It's not even often. So that's just why I take the stance. And I finished up with 8 weeks of business coaching, and she said, I think you should talk about this more because it's not really spoken about. And I think that as well. The amount of times I go to like a cafe or something with someone and they're like, oh, I'd really be interested in giving it a go, but I just can't live without bacon. And I put this on my story and I got backlash there too. And I said, what if you still went plant-based but decided you're going to have your favorite breakfast with that food in once a week on a Sunday or something like that? Or some people do it only if they dine out. They eat vegan at home, but if they go to a restaurant once for a few weeks, they might have something as a treat. And you're still making such a big difference overall. And is it better for someone to say, okay, well then I'll give it a go and cut out all the other things that they don't really care about and switch to other mock meats and other dairy-free alternatives and just have that one thing every now and again? Or for that person to be like, oh no, I'm not going to try it because I can't live without this thing. It's obviously better for them to take most of the time approach. And I think it's a really good onboarding approach for people who just think it's so overwhelming. They don't know how they would ever do that. And another reason I take this stance is for health reasons as well. Something I saw on a Facebook group one day was someone had an allergy to beans and legumes, soy, gluten, and nuts, I'm pretty sure. So what is left to eat? I take a nutrition approach because I'm a nutritionist and I cured my bloating and digestive issues through plant-based nutrition. So that is like my main driver, I guess you could say. Yes, I'm an animal lover. Yes, I grew up in a house where we had lambs and baby goats in the laundry because we would like train them up for ag day and like teach them how to walk on the lead and things like that. I actually used to have a goat in New Zealand where I I don't even think I was doing the ag day that year. I think I was too old to do it, but my sister was getting a lamb or something, and I just wanted one just to keep because I lived in like a smaller town and we had a big backyard and things like that. So I wanted to get a goat that I could keep, and I went to the goat farm in the town, and there's like this paddock of, there's this paddock of like 100 or 200 baby goats, and usually they just get rid of the boys, same as the dairy industry. Like the calves are useless apart from like a couple that they keep for mating, but they had actually so many baby goats that they even put some girls in the paddock because they're just wastage, they're just going to waste. So I got to choose, unfortunately, only one out of like 200 or whatever. And she was a beautiful caramel color, and I called her Jasmine. And after I left New Zealand, my dad ended up looking after, oh, between my dad and uncle, my uncle had a big property. We put her like on this boat and put her, shipped her like, I don't know, maybe 5 meters across the water, and he had this island. And she like literally stripped all the trees and things like that. But she lived on this island for a while, and then my dad took her to his property, and she's unfortunately passed away like 1 or 2 years ago because she actually got to like quite an old age. But because nutrition is my driving factor, because it's just like my main interest, because I cured myself through that. And once I saw the documentaries that you can reverse disease, you can live longer, I'm like, why aren't they doing this in hospitals? And I remember I said to my nana, I've got the perfect idea. When I grow up, I want to bring plant-based food into the hospitals, because they're just giving them these soggy vegetables and like bread and stuff that has no nutrients. So how are people meant to heal on hospital food? And I thought this was revolutionary. And then nana was like, they're not going to let you do that. And I was like, what do you mean? Because I was just young. And because they want you sick. If everyone's healthy, like where's the money? There's no money on pharmaceuticals, all these operations being done. They don't want you to be healthy. And yeah, back then I didn't really understand much about the world, but now, yeah, I definitely understand where that comes from. So since nutrition is my main, is what got me into it because I cured myself. So I'm just really interested in it because I guess there's so much information online. There's so many interesting different topics or things to go down, or like comparing vegan to keto. How come both of them were so popular if they're so opposite? I just like looking at, I guess, maybe the psychology of people or where people get things from. It's like such a vast topic, I guess you could say. And helping people is very meaningful to me as well. So because I take that approach, it doesn't mean that I don't care about animals if that's like not my original reason. The documentaries that showed me that stuff definitely made me look into it, but I think the nutrition field is such a vast topic. Like the animals, you know all the stuff that goes on, but I feel like with nutrition, there's always new stuff to learn. Like how can you optimize this, or what about these different things? There's like so many ways to grow and expand your knowledge because the animal stuff I already know. So that could be a thing as well. Like I just really like to learn about all the different areas of it. And yeah, I put that reel on my Instagram because my business coach said, I think it is important that you share this a little bit more, because yes, I can cater to vegans, but maybe people see my account and they're interested in giving it a go, but don't really know how, or yeah, think, oh, I want to do it, but I don't want to give up cheese. Well, just do it and leave cheese in there for now and see how you feel and everything else. Is it better for them to make that first move or make no moves at all? And I shared that reel and someone else commented like, the flexitarian approach has never shown to work, and I understand what you're saying. And then he was comparing it to slaves, like you can't just say you're only going to use slaves sometimes, blah, blah, blah. So I've heard all these arguments, but he was majorly shutting me down in the comments, like just saying how, yeah, like horrible I am and how wrong my point of view is. Like he was disgusted in me, but then DMs me to say, hey, I think you'd be perfect to come on my YouTube channel to talk about this. Why would I sign up to something like a live interview that is very stressful for me to come up with answers on the spot if I'm getting ridiculed? Because of my, I've just done a lot of inner work this year, because of my upbringing, been in a household of yelling every day, never been able to express myself or talk to people about things, and then going into a 4-year narcissistic relationship where every single thing is my fault. You want to like message all these girls telling them that they're hot, blah blah blah, but it's my fault because we're having a fight. Oh, you want to kick me out in the middle of a pandemic when the borders to my home country were closed? Oh, it's my fault because I'm stressed about my food truck. Like, I'm still learning how to communicate. So in a relationship or with any kind of scenario, if it's something that's quite touchy to talk on, I prefer to like write things down, or at least with YouTube videos as well, like you can go back and edit it, or if you like feel stuck on what to say, you can like have a break and then think about it. So the thought of going on like a live interview after he just told me how horrible I am, to do another interview live and just get shut down again in front of more people and struggle to come up with my answers on the spot. Like, just, I'm really, really sick of the hate. Another thing with the ADHD diagnosis, I've only been for 2 appointments. I've got my 3rd one on Monday, so this video was filmed before that. Another thing that quite often comes along with it is rejection sensitivity dysphoria, RSD. And I hadn't really heard of it until like 2 months ago, but I think because of my upbringing and then the relationship where every single thing that went wrong is all my fault. And then if I have that because of the ADHD as well, like it just means that any little thing, like you don't just brush it off. Like I guess for the average person, if someone commented that, like, oh, I just saw a new profile, it's plant-based, not vegan, that would be like, oh, well. But to me, I was like so offended. And I've been told things in the past and like held on to it for an entire year, like thinking about it nonstop, like, well, why would they say that, blah, blah, blah. So that's another thing I'm working through and trying to learn about, which may be why I'm like, may seem like I'm overreacting or may just seem like over the top for something that might be small for someone else, because it could be actually related to my personality or a condition and be like a real thing that affects me more deeply than the average person. And before I go on to the next part of the video, there are 2 people that I have in mind that also take this kind of stance towards the plant-based approach. One of them is Plant Strong Dietitian, and she was vegan for however many years, but she posted something on her page about how she was going to start eating eggs again. And she said, sorry if this offends anyone, I just wanted to be transparent, as I think because of some food allergy she was struggling with at like protein options kind of thing, and just wanted to, I don't know, she just thought that it would make her feel better. And I thought that was really good that she was so honest. And yes, some people were still hating on her in the comments, like, there's no need for that, like, how could you eat eggs and you're not even going to be vegan anymore, blah blah blah. But I thanked her. I was like, thank you for your transparency. I think it's important if we show people if we're not being perfect or something like that, because maybe someone else feels the same. And another dietitian, I just searched up her page today because she hasn't popped up for years. Instagram's so annoying, how like you'll follow these people but like never see their profile if you stop engaging in it or something. Like, I haven't actually seen any posts for so long. So I went on there this morning and straight away found something like a day of eating in my life as a predominantly plant-based dietitian kind of thing. And then someone posted in the comments, it's so good that you speak about this because I eat the same, but I didn't really know how to label it because it's not vegan, but it's not vegetarian. So thank you for shedding light on it kind of thing. So it is helpful for people. There's like a gap in the market where people are taking this approach, but they're not really sure even what to call it, and they don't really know anyone else who's doing it. And they just said, like, this is just what works for me and my family right now and what's sustainable for us. And that is totally fair. And I remember back when I first found that dietitian's profile, she just said, like, she loves following a plant-based approach, it makes her feel good, blah blah blah. But when she wanted to go and travel overseas, I think it was to Italy or something, she's like, why wouldn't I go and indulge in the pizza and have these things as this once in a lifetime opportunity? There's like certain occasions where she would want to indulge in something but not necessarily eat like that all the time. And yeah, like, I don't know how much slack she cops anymore. I think it's really good that she's honest, but those are 2 people that I can think of that have quite good, quite big followings that do kind of touch on it a little bit, but yes, coming from like a nutrition standpoint and a business standpoint, it's hard to please everyone or have everyone like understand and accept you. Part two of this video and podcast, why I think it's important. I briefly touched on before, so many people, they're not even willing to give it a go because it just seems so overwhelming, or there'll be like one kind of food that they want to hold on to so they don't even start. So I think just saying, hey, you can do 90 to 95% of the time, it just gets more people in the door and has the biggest impact on the world overall. The next reason is a lot of people give up veganism. That's a fact. You can look on YouTube, there's all these people like going full carnivore. So if there's not people talking about this approach, like the approach I kind of have is kind of like a Mediterranean style, but like without the dairy and milk and stuff. Like fish and eggs is an easy option because it's light to digest. Like everything kind of comes back to digestion for me as well. Like it's not a heavy ass steak that like takes a lot for your body to break down. But if someone hasn't been eating animal products for a while, I had someone message me and she was like, hey, I'm not really feeling well. I'm thinking about incorporating eggs back into my diet again. From a nutrition standpoint, I want to support people with what is right for them. And because the community is so strict, like they feel like they don't really have anyone to come to. If they post something like that in the vegan Facebook groups, hey, I'm thinking about having eggs again because I'm not really feeling well, they'll be after you. Like I actually did like cry last night because it got to me so bad. But I want to be someone where people can come to me, and I always take the stance that you know what your body needs. You know what feels good, you know what you thrive off, and if something's not right, something's not right. First, if you're vegan, we can look at other things. Have you had a nutrient check in the last 6 months? Like, what vitamins are you taking? Are you taking your vitamins regularly? Like, I always forget, but try to do it like at least 5 nights a week or something. How's your exercise like? Are you even eating enough calories? Are you getting your nutrients from different sources, like switching up your veggies, blah, 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 not just eating the same thing on repeat? There's so many things we can look at first before they even introduce that. But if all else fails, then if I just said, oh no, you can only come to me if you are a strict vegan, then I just want to be able to help people with where they're at. And everyone has different values around eggs and honey. Some of the vegans in the group do have chickens and do eat the eggs, which means they're not vegan, yes, because it comes from an animal, but the chickens are their friends, it's not causing harm, they're laying anyway. Yes, they say if you like take the eggs then they might lay more, like that a lot of them are old, I guess you call it battery hens that are just, they're just laying anyway because they've been bred for that. So if you're giving them a good home and it's there on the yard, like, yes, sometimes you can even give the eggs to your dog. Like I would collect the eggs and then give my dog an egg and like she likes it. You can just do things like that and it's just there already. So you can waste it or you can use it. Everyone has different opinions around it. They have different opinions around honey. Some of them are vegan, but they still have honey for whatever reason they want to. And then when people post these things, like, it's just like a competition of who's the most vegan. So with the whole thing with giving up veganism, if no one speaks about this approach, is it better for them to be like, oh, I'm not feeling good, I'm gonna give up, and then just go back to eating full animal products 3 times a day like they did before? Or realize, hey, maybe I just choose 1 or 2 things that I want to have on occasion that thrives, like that their body is specifically suited to, because we all have a different makeup. We all absorb nutrients easier or not as easy as others. Like we have different lifestyles. Some people aren't really prepared with food and their meal prep and making sure they've got the right kind of things to take to work for lunch or to have for dinners. Everybody's lifestyle and body is different, so we all handle it differently. So yeah, it's better for them to know that this exists, a 90% approach, instead of just going back to full how they were before and just giving up altogether or going carnivore. The next point is health reasons. As I said, absorption of nutrients, different lifestyles, different habits. Food is also a very cultural thing as well, so it can be hard in people's families to feel like they fit in. It can be quite a tough mental thing that they're going through. And yes, like a lot of families can be understanding. You can take your own vegan dish, you can tell them about it, you can get them to try your food, but some people's families, like especially overseas, where it's this is like what they eat. Maybe someone wants to eat vegan or plant-based, like in general life, but if they have like a family Christmas or something like that, then they might have something that one of their family members has cooked, because it is a very cultural and social aspect of life. And the next one is, I've heard so many experiences just from my own friends or people online, but one of my friends has like a cabin. She was like living off grid kind of thing. I went to stay there in New Zealand, and they're like the healthiest kind of people you can be. They go out to the beach all the time. They were like exfoliating with the sand. They didn't even really have much power out there. Like even the kitchen was half outside, like it's got the nature coming in. And it's like a full outside cooker kind of thing. And they live their whole lives like that. They're so healthy, and they're not surrounded in all these phone towers and Wi-Fi and all that kind of thing. They're like as healthy as you can be. And she tried to go vegan for 4 or 5 months, and she just started to get really depressed and like more intense period pain, and just started to go downhill. And someone like that, we had this beautiful outdoor dinner once, and they eat so many veggies, all these different colors and whole foods and lots of organic things and homegrown things. Like you actually can't get any better. And she was eating enough. And one night she was just struggling so much. Her partner, after she came home from work, he just gave her fish and eggs for dinner. And she said within a couple of hours, she just started to pick up. Like it was just something in it that her body needed. So I can't say to someone like that, who is as healthy, like they're so healthy and we're doing everything perfectly, I can't say, oh no, you're wrong, like you shouldn't have done that, and the full vegan approach is right for you no matter what, and you're wrong if you give it up, or you're a horrible person if you give it up, because this is their experience. So I can't tell them it's wrong or anything. That's their experience and the proof that they had that just taking a most of the time approach works for them. And they do still eat a lot of plant-based meals and a lot of tofu and things like that, but it just didn't work for her. So if someone has like an experience, you can't just say it's wrong. So I've got friends that are full vegan and some who take the approach as me. And the ones who are full vegan, it's like no questions asked, they're thriving. They are doing so well. They've been doing it for such a long time. They'll do that forever and they feel amazing. And some people just want to do this approach because, yeah, their makeup is different. So that's the part of that category of why I feel it's important and someone needs to talk about it, because not many people are. And yeah, there's not many people they can go to in those Facebook groups or like, who do they chat to about it without getting completely shut down and told that their experiences are wrong or that they're doing something wrong, even if they're doing everything to the best of their ability. The next part of this podcast is the blue zones. This is what my studies were focused on. When I cured my bloating and digestive issues through food, I learned everything about how marketing is backwards. Like they're like, yeah, you need all this stuff, like you need meat for protein, you need milk for calcium, and then all the countries around the world who drink the most milk have the highest rates of bone fractures and osteoporosis, and all the meat intake is causing all the other stuff, like we've got the highest rates of degenerative disease ever. So I knew I don't want to do a traditional nutrition course where they just tell you all that stuff that comes from the government because it's marketing, it's all money. Once I learned that, I was like, well, I'm not gonna take the common approach. I wanna find something alternative. So I studied with a company called AFPA. It's in America, but it was like an online course. And they gave us these books all about like the China study and things like that. And the whole approach I learned from was the blue zones. So I do have a blog post on this breaking down their diets and their different main ingredients that they eat. So these are the places around the world who live to often 100 years or older with the least amount of disease. So the lowest rates of obesity, cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. So not all of them are full vegan. Some of them choose to be. I think it was the Loma Linda, the people in Loma Linda. And some of them just do a 90% approach. So in the Okinawas, they might have some pork, but it will be for someone's birthday. Or say in the Western culture, like, especially in America, like, they'll have, like, a huge slab of steak and, like, a tiny salad like this. That's, like, the gross salad. They don't even eat it at the restaurants because it's, like, they don't know how to make salad. So what they do is it's more like a giant soup with all these legumes and things like that, and lots of soy, lots of tofu, and they might just sprinkle some meat on top for flavoring or something. So things can come down to portions and amounts as well, and that was a huge takeaway I had from that course. It doesn't necessarily mean this is the exact way you need to eat, because those people are utilizing the foods that are surrounded in them in those areas. They live on rocky terrain. The community is a big aspect as to why they live so long as well. And like, some of them might eat more fish than others because they actually go off the cliff and fish right there, but the other ones would be utilizing the different kind of vegetables that are grown in that area or the different kinds of meat that is around. But like, portion and how you're building the plate is huge. I love this approach because it allows for some variables for people to kind of do what they want and make the choices that's right for them. And it's obviously working because they live to 100 years and older. And there's so many things, like, in the Western world, like, I obviously don't follow that thing perfectly. I eat so much air fryer vegan chicken that, like, still has oils and things added to it and some additives that, like, obviously they're not eating processed things over there. So I'm not even, like, following that thing to the exact T, if that makes sense. But I think it's a really good guideline to follow. Like, just eat plants most of the time, make it work for you. The final part four to this podcast is, yeah, if someone's not a perfect vegan, I don't want to not welcome them into my nutrition business. Or say if I've got a vegan client and something isn't right, like, they've been doing it for a long time and they just know within themselves something's not right, I don't want them to feel like they can't come to me or like they still have to stick to the plan because this is just the rule. I want people to be able to come to me with the problems that they're having so we can look into what solution, what nutrients do we need to check for, what things can we look into. And I don't just work with vegans. Some people are families who eat like normal New Zealand or Australian diets, like meat and veg at night, blah, blah, blah. But they're kind of interested in giving it a go. So maybe with my plant-powered app or with a meal guide that I give them, it will have kind of a mix of both. So say if a meal has chicken, if they want to have the vegan option, they can have some kind of vegan chicken or seitan, or if they don't like mock meat, they can use tofu. And I really think we should be just welcoming people at whatever stage of the journey they're on and not criticizing them or kicking them out of groups for not being good enough or not being perfect, because there really is no perfect vegan. Even if you're trying hard, things happen. Everyone has different beliefs. As I said earlier about the honey thing and the eggs thing, it doesn't mean like if they just do a most of the time approach or like 95% approach, it's still like not very nice to say like, oh well, they shouldn't be part of this and they can't have conversations with people or learn more about other things or contribute recipes or make connections. It doesn't mean that they're a horrible person if they are not 100% perfect. And I think that's what puts a lot of people off even doing this, because yeah, it's very you don't want to get hate from anyone, and it's very easy to have people turn on you. So I think we should think about like how we can bring people into this world in an uplifting way. There's such a stigma around it, which is why people don't want to be like seen in front of others, like, oh, are you choosing the vegan option? Are you vegan? There's like such a bad stigma. So how can we make it a more uplifting place and include everyone and show people new things in like an interesting way? And it's not to say that like pulling people up on things is ever bad as well. Like when I'm around my friends who are full vegan, they've never pulled me up on anything, but say once we went and met for lunch and I went to get sombreros, and usually if I'm dining out, like I don't really worry about mayonnaise or something just because it's such a smidgen, but I didn't actually know at that place you could get vegan sour cream and vegan cheese. I think it's like an extra $2 or something. So even just being around those people and seeing them do their order and you're like, oh my god, I didn't even know I could get those kind of options. So the next few times I went there, I was like, oh yeah, I can get like full vegan sour cream and cheese. And just like someone being in your presence, how can you positively inspire them and maybe teach them something new or just like inspire them to be the best that they can be, instead of like bringing them down if they make a mistake or do something wrong or have a slightly different belief to you. Now, if you do want to do my free course, it should be finished by the time this video goes live or either in the making. I'm not sure exactly when I'll get this edited, but it's going to be called How to Achieve Your Dream Physique on a Plant-Based Diet. So I've gone through and I've thought of the main reasons why people would struggle with their fitness and nutrition and feeling the most confident in their body, and also the people who did reply on some of those Facebook groups. I've got data from them as well with different things they're struggling with, not really knowing what macros to stick to, or feeling so overwhelmed that the gym is so busy between 5 and 7 p.m. Like, I just wanted real answers from real people. So if that's committing a crime, then those people can arrest me in that other group. So anyway, I'll put the link below anyway to the landing page. So if it's started or not, you can sign up and you'll get added straight away or either as soon as it's ready to be released. And that just gives you some tips. You'll get a daily email to your inbox. I'll include a couple of recipes from my plant-powered app as well. Just some easy options that anyone can do. I'm always big on minimal dishes, minimal cooking time, minimal ingredients. We don't want overwhelming recipes with like a huge list of things to do that it just makes you not even want to start the dinner kind of thing. So I would like things to be simplified. I want to make it easy for people. And if you want some tips about building muscle and fat loss, it'll all be in that program. So head to the link below, you can sign up absolutely free. Don't forget, if you like videos on nutrition, plant-based things, business, mindset and wellness, then don't forget to subscribe, whether you're listening on the podcast or YouTube, and connect with me over on socials as well for more daily short form posts. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next week.